In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Happy Palm Sunday, everybody. So, what's all the fuss? Why are we clapping and waving these branches and doing halahel? What's this all about? Today is about Jesus being king. Jesus, he is king. Today, if we celebrate Palm Sunday, of course we are all celebrating Palm Sunday, what we are saying is that Jesus is my king. There's a difference there. Jesus is king. Is he my king? As we look at the story, the people were extremely excited because they wanted to crown Jesus as their king. However, they expected Jesus to be the king that they wanted, a political king. They wanted Jesus to be the king that was going to come and save them from the Romans, who were obviously, they were occupying Israel at the time, and they were abusing the Jews at the time. So they thought that Jesus was going to come strong. He comes with 12 guys who literally are nothing. They're nobodies. They're fishermen. Jesus comes with peace, not to fight with a sword. So Jesus, yes, he is the Savior and he's come to save them, but he doesn't want to save them from what they want to be saved from. He comes to save them from what and from who? Who is the real enemy that Jesus has come to save all of us, from? Satan. From sin. Today, Jesus is trying to still save us. Just because Jesus died and rose doesn't mean that we still don't need to be saved. The devil is still real. The devil is still working. The devil has not lost his power yet until Jesus comes back again. And Satan will be thrown into hell for all of eternity. But as of right now, Jesus said that Satan is the prince of this world right now. And really, if we look around and if we're honest, we can see Satan's work all over the world, right? Just look at social media. Just look at your Instagram. You'll see the devil. You'll see the devil everywhere. Look at your phone. Look at the news. Look at in your families. We see the devil everywhere. So today, yes, Jesus is king, but who are we giving power to is the question. Who are we giving the power to be king to? That's still our choice. And oftentimes, my brothers and sisters, we're waiting for God to do it all for us. We're waiting for God to just come and fix everything without realizing that you and I still have power to give power to either Satan or God. The Jews and the children and everybody that day, they screamed, Hosanna. What does Hosanna mean? Do you know what it means? What does it translate to? Somebody said it. Save us. Save us. They screamed, save us. Today, we scream, save us, Jesus. Save us from a lot of things. There's a lot of things that we need Jesus to save us from today, this day. We have power. We do have control to make decisions. Absolutely. But in another sense, we literally, no matter how much we try to control and no matter how perfect we make decisions, sometimes we can't control the results, can we? So guys, when we come to God and we say to God, God save us, it's kind of actually a contradiction. And I'm going to explain that. We call this word a paradox. This situation, save me from this illness. Save me from this financial problem. Save me from this relationship. Whatever it might be, it doesn't mean that I do nothing, does it? It doesn't mean that I just stand out of the way because I'm asking God to save me, so I just stand around and I do nothing about it. I'm asking for God's help, but at the same time, I have to do something. So it sounds like a contradiction. God, help me. God, I need you. God, I can't do this without you because you are God and I'm not. But at the same time, God is saying, you got to move too. There's a beautiful quote. I love this quote. And it goes like this. Pray as if everything depended on God, and work as if everything depended on you. I'm going to say that again. Pray as if everything depended on God, but work as if everything depended on you. That means that I have to be vulnerable with God. When I go to prayer, that means that I have to come before God and say, God, it all depends on you. Because no matter what I do, I can't be in control. I can't fix the results. I can't control the results. I can only do my part. But God, I depend completely on you. And I trust you. Whatever the results are going to be, Lord, I trust you. Whatever it's going to be. But at the same time, I have to make an effort. I have to listen to the people around me who are trying to teach me and guide me and maybe even check me a little bit. Because we all need to be checked, right? We all need to be held accountable. We all need to be shown. We all need to be taught. And again, because man is so prideful and arrogant and egotistical, we don't want to be taught by God. We don't want to be taught by the priest. We don't want to be taught by our spouse. We don't want to be taught by anybody. We want to be, again, in control. I know. I know how to do everything. Abuna, please don't teach me. I'm 70 years old. I know exactly how to read the Bible, and I know everything. Father, don't teach me about, you know, this. Don't teach me about that. Wife, please don't teach me about finances. I know better. We don't want to be taught. We don't want to be guided. We want to be in control. And this is, my brothers and sisters, I think this is why a lot of people, they don't want to waste, they think that it's a waste of time to come to church and pray. To come to Mass once a week, to spend 1 hour with God, is actually showing God, God, I'm willing to be weak. I'm willing to allow you to be in control. Because now you have to be vulnerable with God. You got to come to church and you got to listen to the priest and you got to listen to his word. And now God's word is challenging me. And why would I want to be challenged by God? I don't need, my life is good the way it is. God, stay out of it. God, I'll let you in my life when I want you in my life. When things are going wrong, I'll let you in. But if not, please stay in your lane, Jesus. And we only want Jesus when we want him. We only want him when we have an expectation of him. But other than that, Jesus, stay out of it. I'm good. Stay out of my finances. My money. Jesus, that's not your place. I'll figure that out. Jesus, you know what? Just stay out of this relationship. You can get involved in this relationship, but this one, Lord, stay out of it. And we don't necessarily say those words to God, do we? We don't say to Jesus, stay out of it. But our lack of inviting him into it is us saying, Jesus, stay out of it. Which is basically saying, I don't need you. Don't save me here. I don't need your saving help here. I only need your help here, but I don't need your help here. It's a dangerous place to be, isn't it? It's dangerous to rely only on ourselves, isn't it? To say to Jesus, Jesus, I need you here, but I don't need you here. Please don't get involved here in my life is very dangerous. Again, we don't want to be vulnerable with God. Because who is the person that says, save me? The person who is in need? The person who's weak, the person who is who's desperate, that's the person who says, save me. The person who recognizes that they need help. Do we recognize here today how much we need help? Are we willing to say to God, and we all say, God, help me. God, help me. But we don't mean it. Because we don't actually really want to do anything about it. We don't want to help ourselves. We say to God, God, help me, but we don't believe that he's going to actually help us. And if we do believe he's going to help us, we don't want to do anything about it. So it's got to be both. This is why it's a paradox. This is why it sounds like a contradiction. Because it can't just be praying all day and expecting God to do everything for me and doing nothing, or trying to do everything and not actually coming to prayer and being weak and surrendering. I got to surrender and I got to work. Does that make sense? If I know I have a test, and it's a big test, do I just pray all day and tell God, God, please help me pass this test and not study? How do you think I'm going to do? Not going to do well, aren't I? And if I only study all day long and I don't come to church and I don't show God by my behavior, by my action, God, I'm willing for you to let... I'm welcoming you in, God. You can come into this test. I allow you into this. Then I'm only depending on myself. It's got to be both. So today, my brothers and sisters, all of us have a place in our lives where we are not... God wants us vulnerable. God likes us weak. Your weakness is not a problem for God. Your weakness and your brokenness, all of our brokenness, is not a problem for God. It's actually the starting point for God. Our weakness and our powerlessness is where God begins. That's when he comes in. When we are weak, when we are powerless, that's when we are strong, St. Paul says. In my weakness, I find the strength of Christ. And so all of us experience our weakness every single day. We all experience our weakness. We all experience our powerlessness. But what are we doing with it? Are we inviting Jesus into it? A temptation that I'm struggling with, and I keep wanting to fight that temptation, and every time I say to myself, the next time I get tempted, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make sure I fight that one. And then what happens, you guys? We tell ourselves, yeah, yeah, the next time I'm not going to give in to it. And what happens? We fall flat on our face. Why? Because we didn't actually turn to Jesus. We didn't actually beg him for his help. We didn't actually invite him into the temptation. We just tried to do it on our own. So this week, my brothers and sisters, if we're going to pray like everything depends on God, that means that depends on God. That means that we got to do a lot of praying, don't we? So this week is called what? What is this next week called? Say it out loud. So what does it mean to be holy? It means that everything that you do is set apart for only God. So this week has to look different than any other week. Especially what we call the Easter Triduum, which is basically Wednesday night until Saturday night and Sunday. Those are the most holiest days of the year. They're the most powerful days of the year. And what's so beautiful about Holy Week, you guys, is that we're not just remembering these events that took place. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then Jesus being scourged, and then dying on the cross and rising. What's so amazing, you guys, is that Holy Week is like a time machine. Holy Week is like entering into a time machine. And when you enter in that machine, you literally get to go back to those events in a spiritual way. Where God literally wants you to go back to those events, because those events changed all of history. All of history was changed because of those 4 days. that whole week changed all of history. And so I challenge you this week to do a couple of things. I challenge you, especially Thursday, Friday, and Saturday until you go to Mass. No music. No TV. No social media. Let's just put it this way. If God forbid your parent or the closest person to you died, would you be going out and having amazing dinners? Would you be watching a Netflix show if your mom or dad died? Would you be going out to the Nadi? Would you be going out to Birmingham? I wouldn't. Does Jesus' death mean anything to us? Do we care? Does it matter? Because our behavior is going to show that, right? Like, if I only come to church once a year on Good Friday because, you know, I guess I got to go thank Jesus, he died for me. I guess I have to. Wow. How much do we really appreciate it? How much do we really understand it? So my challenge for us this week is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we have so many beautiful events at the church. All of our churches do. All of our churches. Wednesday, we're going to have confessions here in the church from 7 to 9. And we're going to have like 10, 11 priests that are going to be here. If you haven't been to confession in a long time, this is the right time to do it, to be freed from your sins, to be freed from the burden. Thursday is Holy Thursday. It's the day that we celebrate Jesus giving us the priesthood and Jesus giving us his body and his blood, the Last Supper, giving us the Eucharist. This is the greatest gift that Jesus gave us, the Eucharist. Come to a Holy Thursday Last Supper Mass, the washing of the feet. Holy Thursday night, all of our churches are going to be open until 5 o'clock in the morning, all of our churches. Jesus said that night, he said one thing to his apostles when they fell asleep. He said, could you not stay up 1 hour with me? 1 hour. Jesus, Holy Thursday night, asks for 1 hour with him. Can we do it? Can we spend 30 minutes, 40 minutes? I challenge you, Good Friday.